Well, good morning, everyone. Well, we want to continue this morning with our series, Overlooked at Christmas. And so we've looked at different characters in the Bible, in the Christmas story. That's a part of the Christmas story, but they don't get a lot of attention, and sometimes they're overlooked. But we've been sharing the significance of every person that's in the Christmas story. And it's really relevant to us today because many of us feel overlooked at Christmas. We feel like I'm not that important. There's a variety of feelings that come over us at different times. And we want this series to be one that encourages us to say, yes, there's a lot of people in the world. Just like there's a lot of characters in the Christmas story. Some have more prominence than others as far as being talked about, but every character had an importance. And so this morning we're going to continue and we're going to talk about Simeon. This man who came to the temple at the time that Joseph and Mary brought Jesus at 8 days of age to the temple. And he came in and he met them there. And so let's read about his story in Luke chapter 2. Start reading at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So, here's this individual who is living at the time of the birth of Jesus, and his part. Now let's just look first at these first few verses, verse 25 to verse 26, where it describes this man, tells us his traits. And so here is the first trait of Simeon. He was just. It was similar to a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Joseph and the description of Joseph. It just said he was a just man. The same description is said of Simeon here. He was a just man. And so what does that mean? It just means he did what was right. And he did what was right in the right way. The world needs more just men and more just women who just do what's right. There can be a lot of influences upon their life. They can be pushed this way and that way by so many factors, but in the end, they're just. They just do what is right, and they do it in the right way. I believe if you want to be noticed by the Lord, just do what's right. We're imperfect. It doesn't mean that we earn the right to be used by the Lord, but he looks at the heart. And he looks at the heart of every individual. And he's looking for this quality of just being just. just being, having a heart to do what's right. And this was Simeon's heart. And the second thing it says about him is that he was devout. Devout. What does that simply mean? It means he was sincere. He believed sincerely. And because he believed sincerely, he acted it out. There's a lot of people that profess things. They let on like they're one way, but really they know inwardly they're not. They're trying to put on some kind of show, either for personal praise or to get admiration, or there's a number of reasons why sometimes we project ourselves and it's not the real us. We put forth an image that we want others to see us as, but it's really not who we are. When you're devout, it means what you believe you hold sincerely. You're not saying something just to say it, to make an impression. You are who you are. Now, this was Simeon. He was just and he was devout. And the third characteristic we find in these verses, and I just summarized it this way, he was energized by the Holy Spirit. Energized by the Holy Spirit. In this portion of Scripture, three times it tells us that the Holy Spirit either was with them or directed him, and he responded to what the Holy Spirit said to him. The Holy Spirit was a part of his life. Now, he didn't have the Holy Spirit in the same dimension we have, but to whatever dimension the Holy Spirit was available to him, he took it all. And he wasn't just living in his own strength and his own abilities. He was looking to the Holy Spirit to direct him, energize him, and to be all that he was to be. Now, that was the third thing. Now, what's the fourth trait? And this is what really separated Simeon. And I just summarized it this way. He lived with a goal. He lived with a goal. There was something spoken to him, something he was going to see, something he was going to experience. There was a promise given to him, and it says it was by the Holy Spirit. And as a result, it set him apart. It made him realize, I have significance. There's something for me to live for. There's something for me to get up for in the morning. And this was exactly what we all need, is to experience the Holy Spirit in this way and to live life, a life of significance, a life with a goal, a life with a purpose. Simeon had this. And the promise that was given to him is that he would see the Lord's Christ before he died. Now, there was a promise that had been given right on down through the history of Israel, through all the sacred writings of Israel, that there was a Messiah that was going to come forth. There was going to be a Christ that came. It was going to save them. Now, they had a sense that it was going to save them from political domination. It was going to save them from pain and suffering, and all those things are true. And also, it was to save them. All their sacrifices that they made in the Old Testament of bringing a lamb and presenting it to the priest year after year to be an atonement for their sin, to save them from the consequences of their sin. That was the same Savior, this Messiah, this Christ was going to come that was going to redeem them. It was called the consolation. It was going to bring comfort. It was going to bring relief. And they had been waiting for it for generations and generations. And as Pastor David said last week, there was 400 years since that last promise was made in Scripture, in Malachi, but it had still not come about. But Simeon had this promise. You're not going to die until you see this happen. And so he lived with that purpose. So, he's directed by the Holy Spirit. to come into the temple at a certain time. He sees Mary and Joseph come in. And when they come in, somehow the Bible doesn't tell us how, but he realized that this was the fulfillment of what he was living for. This child, I don't think he had any idea it was going to be a baby when he was thinking of the consolation of Israel and seeing the Messiah. But even though it may not have been in the form that he thought it was going to be, it certainly, he realized it by the Holy Spirit that this was the one. And so he seized on this. And he takes the baby up into his arms and he begins to proclaim some things. He speaks over this child. Now, what was Simeon's proclamation? And I just broke it down as it comes forward here in Scripture. What did Simeon say over that baby Jesus? The first thing he proclaimed was that this was God's, and this is how I summarized it, God's grand scheme of salvation. He had seen the salvation of the Lord. And I want you to know, Simeon had the clearest view of why Jesus came and the purpose of his coming to earth than any others of the characters in the Christmas story. He had the clearest view. He had the broadest view. They thought, most people thought, this Messiah was just coming to Israel. But Simeon saw past that he was just coming to Israel. And he saw that this was a broader, bigger. He was not just coming to the Israel. He was going to be the Savior of the world. And so he says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." He saw that the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, was not just going to be to Israel to save his people from their sin, but he was also coming to the Gentiles, and he was going to save the world from their sin. He was going to be the Prince of Peace of the world. He saw a dimension of this that everyone else missed. Simeon saw that this was going to be, and that the glory of Israel was going to be that they were the ones that brought forth the Christ. And really, I believe that's the glory of Israel. They brought forth the Christ. And God may still have some working with Israel today, but their glory, the reason that they were established as a nation, was to bring forth the Christ that was going to be the Savior of the world. And so he proclaimed that. He saw it. And he spoke it out in a way that was so clear for all to hear. Here's the second thing that he proclaimed, and it's in the process here. It's sort of all together, but I'm going to list this one next. He said Mary would personally experience much grief. He goes on to say, when he's speaking about this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. A sword will pierce through your own soul. You know, when I was thinking about this, I thought about the angel saying, "Blessed are you among women, blessed," and everyone's going to call you blessed throughout life, throughout history. And so it is, we call her the Blessed Mary. She is known that way. And sometimes we get to thinking, if we're blessed, if God has his hand upon us, and he's using us in a great way, we're never going to experience any pain. We're never going to experience any suffering. In fact, if we do, we're probably not blessed of the Lord. We're probably out of his will. We're doing something wrong. And as a result of doing something wrong, then I need to seek God. I need to change. Something's terrible. Satan comes in. He condemns us. He gets us down. And he gets this feeling of unease within us. But let me just tell you, Mary was the blessed of all women in the world. And in the very blessing was going to come a pain and a sorrow to her like she's never experienced before. We can only imagine that the fulfilling of this was at the cross and all the happenings to Jesus before his final death, watching him arrested, watching him stripped, watching him shamed, ridiculed, mocked, feeling every pain that Jesus experienced on the cross. As she's watching, she's feeling it was like a sword constantly stabbing her heart. It's almost like every labored breath of Jesus brought a stab of that sword into Mary's heart. And she experienced it, and she felt it, and Simeon said to her, "You're going to experience that." I think, I have to believe that maybe it gave Mary a little comfort at the cross as she's feeling this horrendous pain. Maybe it came back over her the thoughts of what Simeon said so long ago. I mean, Simeon said them for a purpose. There was a reason God had Simeon speak these things at that time. It was obviously for us. We can read it today. But I believe it was for Mary's benefit. And I just want to tell you, I know that whoever's here this morning may be going through a hard time. You're struggling. There's tears. There's frustration. Things are happening to you that you wish were not happening. Things out of your control. Things that doesn't seem could possibly be the will of God. Like, I mean, if God sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world and to bring relief and comfort, how can the very people he's coming to save be treating him in this way? Well, we understand the process now. We look back and say, oh yeah, that was all part of God's scheme. He had to die for our sins. He had to take it upon himself. I'm sure the people around the cross didn't understand that. His followers didn't understand it. They're weeping. They're wailing. After all of this happened, they go hide. The disciples go hide in a room. I mean, they're struggling with this. There's a lot of swords going through hearts at that time. Now, folks, we're not going to escape that. In my capacity of pastors, I hear a lot of stories, and a lot of times I just want to wrap my arms around people and say, I wish you weren't suffering this. I wish you didn't have to go through this. I wish you didn't have this physical problem. I wish you didn't have these circumstances in your life that's bringing you so much sorrow, things that are stabbing you and you're feeling the pain of it. All I want you to know, you're not alone. I don't know why, but it seems to be the process that God allows us to see victory and be greatly blessed. And the ultimate outcome is going to bring glory to God and everyone involved in it. And yet in the midst of it, there's this pain, there's this suffering that we can't escape. And many times we pray to escape it. And sometimes that's what God means, and it lifts and it's gone. Doesn't mean we don't pray. But I just want you to know, sometimes the prophetic word of God to us is, in our future, you're going to have pain and you're not going to understand totally why. But you know what? God is in control. All things are working together for good. Whether you realize it or not, it's working together for good. Simeon was the person that got to tell this to Mary, so she would just have a better grasp of what was happening as she was going to live through that very experience. So keep trusting God. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on praying. Keep casting your care upon the Lord. And I tell you this, deliverance is going to come. But it may not come in the timing you think or in the way that you think. And true faith is, it doesn't really matter because I've given my life to the Lord and I'm not going to turn back, good or bad. I belong to Him. I'm living my life for Him. And that's what the Lord has for us to experience. Here's the next one. Jesus would be the determining factor whether people rise or fall. He said that in the scripture, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul and the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. This child was going to reveal the thoughts of people in their heart. He was saying that Jesus was going to be the gauge or test, was going to be the measure of assessment of people's hearts. And people were either going to rise or fall based on their heart towards Jesus. Now that's amazing. We're going to talk more about that. Let me just go and summarize what we said here today. Lessons for us today to take home with us. Here's the first one. We are also are awaiting Christ's coming to the earth. We are awaiting Christ's coming to the earth. Simeon was waiting for the first coming of Christ to the earth. We're waiting for the second coming of Christ to the earth. Simeon was basing his hope on the last word from Malachi 4 and verse 2, said to him, "For who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." And they knew that was speaking of the Messiah who was going to arise. 400 years happened later and it didn't occur. But Simeon had the promise, you know what? He's coming. And he had the hope in his heart, I'm going to see it. And the same is for us. We're not waiting for the first coming. We're waiting for his second coming. And our promise is in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Just as Simeon was eagerly waiting for the first coming, the scripture says we are eagerly waiting for the second coming. Now, they waited thousands of years for that to be fulfilled. And you know what? We're 2,000 years into that promise, and we're waiting for it. But just as sure as Simeon saw, folks, you and I are going to witness the second coming of the Lord. It may not be in our lifetime, or it may be, but we are going to be experiencing that, either coming with him or being caught up to be with him. That second coming of the Lord. I just wrote down some things. I don't want to go into this at any great depth, but I just, as I was preparing this message, I just wanted to contrast the first coming, the first time Jesus came, and the second time that Jesus came. The first time that Jesus came, he came as a baby. The second time he comes, he'll be as a conquering king. First time he came, he was surrounded by shepherds and sheep. The second time he comes, he'll be surrounded by saints and angels. First time he came, it was marked by a star in the heavens. The second time he comes, it says the heavens will roll up like a scroll. The first time he came, magi brought him gifts. The second time he comes, He will bring gifts and rewards for his people. The first time he came in meekness. Second time he came, or he's coming, he's going to come in power. First time he came, it was in humility. The second time when he comes, it'll be in glory. The first time he came as a lamb. Second time he comes, he will come as a lion. The first time he came quietly. The second time he comes, it will be with a trumpet and a shout that the whole world's going to hear. The first time he came to die. Second time he comes, he will come to give eternal life. The first time he came to purchase salvation. Second time he comes, it will be to deliver salvation. The first time he came as Savior. The second time he comes, it will be as Judge. Simeon was sort of looking at all those characteristics of the second coming, thinking that's what the first coming is going to be like. And all Israel thought all those things I mentioned about his second coming was going to be in his first coming. They didn't realize that had to come and be a Savior. But he came and he was a Savior. But he is coming again, and he's going to come as that conquering king. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to give our hearts to the Lord. Because when he comes the second time, that is going to be the end. And he's going to come as our judge. And it says all evil is going to be destroyed in the brightness of his coming. And so we are living now in a very precious window. A window when his grace is still extended to everyone who will receive him. He's still coming in that meekness and that gentleness, and he's receiving everyone who will receive him. But when he comes the second time, he's going to come in justice and mighty might and power. Let's close it by saying these things. Simeon is an example to us of how we are to wait. He was waiting for the first coming. We're waiting for the second coming. What did he do? And just summarizing what we already said, he was just and devout. I summarized it this way. Just as Simeon, we need to do the right thing and be sincere. Are you doing the right thing? Is your heart right? Do you want to do the right thing? Doesn't mean you always do it. Doesn't mean you're perfect. But your heart is right before the Lord. I want to do what's right. And you sincerely believe that. You're not putting on a show to anyone. You're just right and you're sincere. You know, Deuteronomy summarized this so far back, and it's still pertinent to us today. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. And now Israel, and we can say now Gentiles as well, the whole world. Now, everyone, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? So he's saying, be right and be sincere. Do it with all your heart and all your soul. That's what the Lord wants of us. He knows our imperfections, but he wants us to give him our heart. Here's the next thing that we need to take from Simeon as we wait for the second coming. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Listen to these verses, and I won't read them actually all, but in the story of Simeon, the Holy Spirit is mentioned three times. The first time it's mentioned, it said the Holy Spirit was on him. So there's three aspects of the Holy Spirit working upon Simeon, and these same three aspects work in our life. The Holy Spirit was upon him. In other words, his presence was with him. God's presence is with us by the Holy Spirit. He was waiting, but we are even waiting in a greater dimension of the Holy Spirit because it's been poured out. We have the presence of God with us. You are never alone. His presence is with us. Here's the second thing it says about Simeon. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before the Lord's Messiah. And so the Holy Spirit revealed things to Simeon. The Holy Spirit reveals things to us. He brings revelation. So the presence of God is with us by the Holy Spirit, but God reveals things to us by the Holy Spirit. Our insights, our whole thought process, our value system needs to be determined by the Holy Spirit working and prompting us in our heart. And then the third thing it says, that he was moved by the Holy Spirit. Why did he come to the temple at the exact time that Mary and Joseph was bringing Jesus 8 days later after his birth? How did Simeon know? Well, the Holy Spirit directed. He felt prompted, go to the temple today. And he went and he met Jesus, the Savior of the world. The Holy Spirit in our life does the same thing. If we respond to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's leading, it brings direction. It brings direction. So the Holy Spirit brings his presence, the Holy Spirit brings revelation, and the Holy Spirit brings direction to us. The final thing that we can draw from the story of Simeon is that finally, as he held Jesus in his arms, he proclaimed to the world something. And this is your last point in your notes. He proclaimed the message of salvation. He spoke it out. He said, this child is, everyone's going to rise or fall based on what this child is and your response to this child. This child was going to be the one that was going to be the determining factor. It was going to be the measuring yardstick. And people's hearts were going to be revealed to how they responded to this baby. Not just baby, but as this man grew and he gave his heart and his life for us on the cross. What we do in response to that is going to determine our salvation or our damnation. It was going to be determined on what we do with Jesus. This is a revelation that Simeon had. In the past, they would have said it would have solely been on whether you kept the law or not. And obviously, in the Old Testament, that was what it was, whether you keep the law. And if you kept the law, you were, commended. But if you broke the law, you were condemned. But Jesus came with a whole different mission in John 3:16 and 17, and says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then it said, and he came not to condemn the world, because the world was already condemned, but he came to save the world. So Jesus didn't come with a message of condemnation. He came with a message to reveal the hearts of men. He revealed the hearts of the Pharisees in the way that they responded to his actual earthly ministry. And when I read the story, I'm amazed how the Pharisees could see the miracles of Jesus, see the love of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, and then condemn him. Oh, you did this on the Sabbath. Their hearts were revealed. And so it is in those days, and it brings it right forward to today. The hearts of people in the world is revealed on what they do with the message of Jesus. What do they do with the salvation that Jesus purchased for them? He's not coming in condemnation. He's coming with love and compassion. And he says, all who comes to me, I will receive them. I will turn no one away. He's merciful. He's kind. He's gracious. Not only does he say, I will forgive you, but I'll put my Holy Spirit within you. I will prompt you and encourage you to live the way that you are to live. I'll bring my presence to you. I'll bring my revelation to you. I'll bring my direction to you. Just receive me. And if you receive me, you'll have eternal life. That's the message of Jesus. And whether people respond or not, and how their hearts respond to that message will determine their eternal destiny. That's amazing. Simeon saw it. He said, this child, this Savior here, everyone's going to rise or fall, and everyone's heart's going to be revealed by what they do with this child. Simeon was holding that salvation in his arms when he made that proclamation. You know what? Those of us that are Christians, we're holding that salvation in our arms. We're embracing the salvation of Jesus Christ. And we have the same commission to go and to proclaim the message of salvation to the world. We're to do it with no condemnation. Or to do it in love. I wrote this little paragraph and I put it in your notes, and it sort of summarizes the proclamation that we're to make to the world. And it's a message to everyone. And let me just read it to you in closing here. If you end up missing heaven and facing eternal separation from God, it won't be because of the secret sin you committed that you don't want anybody to know about, or any other sin you may have done. It won't be because you didn't go to church or didn't do enough good deeds. It won't be because of what other people did to you or should have done for you. It will be because you refuse to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He already paid for the sins you have committed, and all the stuff you should have done, but you didn't. He took care of all that when he died for you on the cross and rose again. He offers salvation as a free gift to everyone who acknowledges him and humbly asks for it. The gift of salvation is available for all to receive. This decision is totally up to you. The price for your sins has been paid. The way to heaven for you has been made. Your eternal destiny depends on what you will do with Jesus Christ. That's the message we're to tell people. It doesn't have condemnation. It's not we're something you're not. It's we're all in the same boat. There's no us, them. We all need a Savior. We all come to the foot of the cross and just accept it. We speak this truth in love, with compassion and with care. When people wrong us, we turn the other cheek. We go the extra mile. We put other people before ourselves, realizing we've received a tremendous gift from Jesus Christ, and somehow if I can express that to other people, they might experience the same. There's no judgment. There's no condemnation. It's just a message of grace that's to the whole world. And how people respond in their heart to that message is what will determine their eternal destiny. So we stand here this morning. I wonder how your heart responds. I wonder how you feel this Christmas. I pray that everyone here this morning, that you have a humble heart, that the message of salvation, and as Simeon declared it so long ago, your heart melts under it. That the love of Christ draws you to himself. And you willingly just bow down before him and say, Lord, be merciful to me. I've sinned. I've come short of your glory. Forgive me. Fill me with your spirit. I want to receive this free gift of salvation. How your heart responds to that message is the most important thing in the entire world. I pray that your heart will soften and surrender. Let me pray for us this morning. Lord, we've been brought face to face with your truth this morning and your tremendous sacrifice for us to provide a way of salvation. Lord, I personally just thankful, Lord, that my heart responded and surrendered and yielded to you. I pray that in this place this morning there will be not one hard heart. I pray everyone that's watching online this morning would not have, not one person would have a hard heart, but they have a soft heart to you this morning. May forgiveness flood into our lives. May the consolation and the comfort of your Holy Spirit come to us. May we realize we're a child of God and it's not based on what we have done, but it's because we've just yielded to you. May your salvation be extended today, Lord, as people hear this message and yield their hearts to you. Make us more of what you want us to be. We thank you sincerely for coming to this earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.